We're in Galatians chapter 5. We're on page 12 of our notes, down at B under 6 in parenthesis. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. We're dealing with a great subject of the fruit of the Spirit, and in contrast to the works of the flesh. Before we pray, let me just say I didn't expect the Lord to answer prayer as quickly as he did. I mentioned last week that I wasn't praying for Mrs. Mann to get well. I was asking the Lord in his mercy to take her home, that she didn't have to suffer. And God in matchless grace reached in and answered our prayer. And we just thank the Lord for the way in which he works in the lives of believers. And all we can do is just thank him. Continue to pray for those who are laid aside. When I see Adrian, I think of his mother-in-law and father-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Jake Patton. They're both invalids in a real way. And there's a lot of work connected with someone who has Alzheimer's. And the other one has a stroke and he's in a wheelchair. Go ahead. That's amazing, isn't it? You talk about the sovereign providence of God. But you know, then you, Mr. and Mrs. Stafford, Mr. Hill knows this, and I go out to the home, and Mr. Stafford, if he doesn't forget, he'll say, just a minute. And he'll go back and he'll bring out an envelope. He said, you put that in for me, and I hand it to Brother Hill. He said, I can't get there. He said, you're the only way I can get this over there. So he hands me one of those little envelopes, an offering envelope. And he has his name on it. And you can tell it's written in a feeble way. And even a name on there gives you joy to know that he remembers us. And his remembrance of us is very real. Because he's a brother who loves to read, and he loves, and he has a good mind in the Word of God. It's a delight to answer the questions that he thinks about during the week or during the time between our visits. And continue to pray for the Staffords. And there's Janie Smith, and there are others, of course. We pray one for another. And it's so important. There's no question about it. When God reaches into your midst and he removes someone, they're missed. They're missed in a very real way. But when we consider what it means to be with the Lord, absent, yes, but home. Abraham looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we look for the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the end for the child of God is glory with the Lord. And that's far better than Burlington. And it's far better than Graham. It's far better than anywhere that you can think about on planet Earth. There's a day coming when the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we're moving toward that day. Can you imagine? You know how the waters cover the sea. It's covered. But the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We're in the book of Galatians. We're going to begin our reading at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, that is, verse 16. By the way, we're just about finished. Next week, we're going to finish the book of Galatians in the will of the Lord. And I have prepared notes on the Gospel of John. And most people, we just have gone through the Gospel of John in the Wednesday morning Bible class. It only took us 3 years. There were 70-some pages of notes on the Gospel of John. And those who were in that Bible class should not complain. And because there's one person said, you know, you ought to take this up Sunday mornings. You ought to take this up Sunday mornings. Now when I do, there's no need to say, we just went over that a couple of years ago. You know, I'm not a great guy for repeating. If you'll know the truth, I was tempted to go into a few of the minor prophets. I was thinking of going through Malachi together. That's only 4 chapters. But nevertheless, as long as I don't go through Hezekiah, we're all right. Now, we're in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, we're going to begin our reading at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the God who manifests your sweet providence on behalf of all your children. As we heard about Jake and Ruby Patton, the way in which you undertake for them, all we can do is rejoice. And we rejoice, our Father, that we're in the family of God, the family in which all things do work together for good to them of the Lord, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. For things which we wonder why they happen to us, you may be keeping us from something far worse, by hindering us from going in a certain direction. How gracious of thee, how kind of thee, and what a blessing it is to commit our way to the Lord. For your word commands us, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Now we thank you for the teaching of the word of God, and we pray that through this study this morning, that we will indeed walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh as thy people. And in walking in the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit will be evidenced in our lives. We ask this, giving thanks in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you'll notice in the middle of the page, B under 6 in parenthesis, the middle of page 12, where we're dealing with the lusts of the flesh. Notice A above B there. The lusts of the flesh mean the sinful desires of the old self before conversion. Now the Word of God tells us we're to be dead to sin, for we were crucified with Christ. But the flesh does not die easily. The flesh is that self within us that we continually pamper, that wants to have its own way, that is something that is distasteful to it, we do not like. We pamper the flesh. And yet, we're told that the flesh is to be put to death, like Amalek in the Old Testament. God told King Saul to kill the Amalekites. They were to be exterminated. 1 Samuel chapter 15. But Saul thought that there was something salvageable in that which God condemned. So he spared the king of the Amalekites alive. He spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. And then when Samuel confronted him, he said, oh, I was going to give it to the Lord, to worship the Lord. Just remember something. Don't look for something salvageable in that which God condemns. You won't find it. And God doesn't want it. And he will not have it. And that's so important to learn. We need to learn the lesson. By the way, God told King Saul to go and slay the Amalekites. He didn't do it. He spared that which he thought was the best. Now I'd like to ask a question. Do you remember who killed King Saul? It was an Amalekite. You don't slay the flesh, friends. You don't, as a child of God, you just keep pampering the flesh. And this is a day for pampering the flesh among Christians. You keep pampering the flesh. The flesh will have its way, make no mistake about it. And it will rise up to kill you. You either slay the flesh, or the flesh will slay you. And that's what this passage is teaching. Notice B, this is a Christian's real problem. The spirit versus the flesh. If you listen to an evangelist and he says, come to Jesus and all your problems are solved. I want to tell you, I had far more problems since coming to the Lord than I ever had before. You see, I never had a problem with the flesh before. But boy, since being saved, you know what the real problem is? The flesh isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. You see, that which the Spirit of God did in me yesterday, the old flesh tries to imitate today. The flesh is a great imitator. The flesh will preach, loves to preach. The flesh loves a platform. The flesh will sing. The flesh will do anything to rob the child of God, and it can mimic in us what the Spirit of God did yesterday. This is why we need daily communion with the Lord. We need daily communion with the Lord. Now you see, notice little A. The sons of Adam inherit the flesh. Now you can't help it for the fact that the flesh is there. That old sinful nature which works itself out through a human body. The Spirit of God indwells a human body. And the Spirit of God manifests itself in fruit through what? The human body. Now, the works of the flesh. You see, he goes through the whole list of the works of the flesh. And I want you to notice something. In verse 22, he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are many. The fruit of the Spirit is one. It is a unit. The word fruit is in the singular. Now, fruit can be plural as well as singular, but in the Greek, it's in the singular. So if you have one, if you have love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and where you have love, you'll have all the rest of that nine cluster group known as fruit. We'll move on. But notice, as sons of Adam, we inherit the flesh. B, as sons of God, we are given a new life and nature, which is subject to the Holy Spirit. Remember when we studied chapter 4 of Galatians? In Abraham's household, there was harmony until what happened? Until Isaac was born. And when Isaac was born, then you saw Ishmael for what he really was. Remember that? And the word of Sarah was cast out, the bondwoman and her son. And Ishmael had to be cast out. And God expects us as the children of God to deal with the flesh. Now, notice, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, before we were saved and we wanted a thing, we simply went ahead and did it. But now that I'm saved, I may have a desire to do something. And the Spirit of God may say, no, you're not to do that. You see what I mean by the flesh lusting against the Spirit? And if we, as the children of God, desire the things of the world, the things that satisfy the flesh, the things that promote the activity of Satan, the Spirit of God says no. How does he say no? He says no through the Word of God. There are things that the Word of God says are wrong. We read the list this morning. You see, did you notice what it says? In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You and I are living in a day in the area of adultery and fornication, men, preachers in particular, they try to say that fornication includes adultery and adultery includes fornication. The two words, morkia and pornia, in the Greek text. But you see, friends, when you have both in the text, the works of the flesh are these: fornication and adultery, they're both mentioned. There is a difference. And when we examine the difference, it changes our mind when it comes to certain verses in the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration. The word Israel is a lot bigger than the word Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel was a northern kingdom. But sometimes the word Israel means the whole of the Jewish nation, including Benjamin and Judah to the south. Now you follow what I'm saying? Israel is a much bigger word. The same as the word pornea, which is translated fornication, is bigger than the word adultery. It includes it. But when in a text they're used together, there you get the meaning of the words. Now, when you come, there's a text in the Word of God that used both Judah and Israel. When it's used that way, then the word Israel is restricted to a certain area, and the word Judah is restricted to a certain area. You follow what I'm saying? And we have to be constant in our defining the terms that the scriptures use. And there is just a case of it. So the Word of God has things that it says no to. And it's wrong for the child of God. The Spirit of God raises up a banner against it. And then he speaks about emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, desiring what somebody else has. You see, now that I'm saved, you see, that old flesh may raise its ugly head, but it needs to be put by the child of God into the place of death by the Christian yielding to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says no. And when God says no, that's good enough for me. That's the position the child of God makes. But now notice three, by walking in the Spirit, we can obstruct the desires of the flesh. By walking in the Spirit, it means that we have a continuous enjoyment in our lives of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life. But now notice the number four, verse 18. For if ye be led of the Spirit, we are not under the law. There are only two times in the Word of God where you find the expression led of the Spirit. One is in Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The other one is here. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What is the leading of the Spirit? You know, you hear people say, I was led of the Spirit to do this, and I was led of the Spirit to do that. And I just simply ask the question, what is really the leading of the Spirit? We come back to the Word of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. In Romans chapter 8, what is the context? In Romans chapter 8, the context is sonship. And the fact that we have been adopted into the family of God. We are the sons of God. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8, 16. We quoted verse 14, verse 16, that we are the children of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, how and what is the leading of the Spirit? To me, the leading of the Spirit. It says here, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What's he dealing with? Here he's dealing with fruit. How do I know? Verse 23 says, as he closes with that nine cluster of fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such, there is no law. If we're led of the Spirit, we're not under law. Now, put them both together. Romans 8:14 and Galatians 5:18. You put them together. What do you have? We have in Romans 8 a knowledge of sonship. I'm a child of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a son and I'm an heir of God. Because I am a son and an heir of God, what should I do? I should bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And if the fruit of the Spirit is being born, then I know that I am led of the Spirit. Let me give you an illustration. We have an apple tree in our yard. You see, that apple tree bears fruit. And the fruit on the tree tells me something of the inner life of the tree. It tells me what it is. The fruit in a child of God's life is a manifestation of what that person is. You see, it's that simple. And being led of the Spirit, what we do determines what we are. You see, we do what we are. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God is more interested in what we are than in what we do. Because what we do is they're related to what we are. Now, notice under 4 there, we have it in Romans 8:14 and Galatians 5:18, and the word is ago in the Greek. Now, in Luke 4, verse 1, our Lord was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Here's a man who was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was led into temptation. He was led into the place where Satan would tempt him. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, where he says, you were carried away. And he's speaking of the Corinthians' life before they were saved. They were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as they were led. In other words, idolatry took them by the nose and took them wherever idolatry wanted to take them. You know, it's like a person with a bull. He has a ring in his nose. And he's just taken by the nose and lead him around. And that's what the idols do. But now notice. See, the works of the flesh are listed in verses 19 through 21. And by divine grace, we can have victory over these lusts. I worked with a fellow one day. It was a Monday morning. His name was Warren Deemer. We were going to work. He said, Phil, stop at a store. I need to buy a pack of cigarettes. I said to him, Warren, you always have cigarettes with you. Why don't you? What happened today? Oh, he said, last night I put them on the altar. I tell you, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't funny. It wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't funny. I said, what do you do that for? Don't you wish you would have them now? You see, the church preached against cigarettes, and he thought he can make a show. He'll get down, and he'll put his on the altar, and that's what he did. The next morning, he went out and bought another pack. I said, Warren, why do you want them? I said, I'll tell you why. You like them. You like them. And God isn't going to take something away from a child of God that he likes. You see, he's not going to take something away that he'll, until you see that for what it really is, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. The lusts of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit, is so important to realize this. But you see, salvation, Paul's argument in the book of Galatians is not a one of works. A person isn't saved because of what they do or don't do. But what Paul is showing here in the life of one who is saved, what they do or don't do, is now in the life of a child of God dependent upon either yielding to the flesh or yielding to the Spirit. We're neither saved by grace nor kept by grace. Excuse me, I said that totally wrong. We're neither saved by works nor kept by works. It is all of grace. And if you want to see the love of Christ manifest in your life as fruit, yield to the Spirit of God. But now notice, we go a step further. Verse number 7, the fruit of the Spirit stands out in contrast to the works of the flesh. The word fruit is singular. I told you that before. This ninefold cluster of fruit shows clearly the character and the power that produces it. The flesh can only produce that which the flesh desires. Only the Spirit of God can produce genuine love. That's what our Lord said in Matthew 7:16, by their fruit ye shall know them. John 15, verse 5, in that great chapter on fruit-bearing, the Lord said, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Notice what else I said on the paper. The text does not say, without me ye can't do very much. He says you can't do anything. Without me, ye can do nothing. But notice, see, because this is a cluster of fruit, it is impossible to have one without the other. You can't have love without joy and peace. It goes together. It goes together. The joy and the peace. In other words, notice B. You are either governed by God or by self. You are either theocratic, governed by God, or autocratic, governed by self. When you meet someone who always has to have their own way, they're very autocratic. You see, my own way is what got me in trouble in the first place. You see, I heard a preacher say one time, it was rather funny, one afternoon, and I was at this conference and this preacher said, can you imagine some preacher rapping on the side of the fish that swallowed Jonah? And saying, Jonah, are you in there? he said, yes, I'm here. He said, wouldn't you like to make a decision to come out? And poor old Jonah says, I can't. I can't do it. It's my problem that got me in here. I'm in here because of me. If I ever get out, it's going to have to be God who does it. Salvation is of the Lord. And how true that is. I can't live the Christian life, but God can. Without me, he says, ye can do nothing. And we all laughed at the preacher that afternoon. I thought he got his point across real well. You see, you're either theocratic or you're autocratic. A recognition of our dependence upon God is to be theocratic. You see, that's what Israel was. They were a theocracy. God ruling in their midst. But they said to King, they said to Samuel the prophet, give us a king that he may reign over us. And you remember what the Lord said to Samuel? Samuel, they haven't rejected you because Samuel was the real leader of the nation. He said, they've rejected me. And you see, when we talk to believers and we say, listen, there's certain things that you should be doing, and they reject what we say. God simply says, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. We will not have him to reign in our lives. We're going to do our own thing. And when a person rejects the word of God, they reject the God of the word. Notice 8, there is no law against the manifestation of the life of God, known as the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. You see, you just keep, there's a big problem among certain groups today. Are we under the law or aren't we under the law? You just keep living for the Lord and obeying the scriptures. There's no law against love for Christ, and that which flows out of it. No law against it. Furthermore, therefore let us abide in Christ and bear fruit for God. And that's far better than the negatives of verse 26. What's the negative of verse 26? Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, if I could just be brother so-and-so. That's envy. I'm not brother so-and-so. You see, if I could just be Tom Taylor and able to sing tenor like he does and have that grip. By the way, he's going to be with us next October. Tom's going to be with us not this October, it's October a year from now. You got to get a guy like Tom a year ahead. But in 64, if I could just be like Tom Taylor, a 94... That's all right. That's all right. That happens. There are two small words that go with it. Old age. But that's how it is. envying one another. You'd be surprised at the story I was going to tell you that I'm laughing at. A man that I've been, that's dying of cancer told it to me the other day. I meet with him and, he's a believer and he has a rare kind of cancer and you can see it. He said, you know that fella, he hated to pay his bills. And one of his creditors went to see him and to collect his money. And he said, I'll tell you how it is. He said, I put all my bills in a month and I put them in a hat and I shake it good. And then I close my eyes and I pick one out, and whichever one I pick out, I pay. And he said, I'll tell you something. If you keep treating me nasty like this, I won't even put your bill in the hat. And that's what I was thinking about. Well, you see, what I thought about Tom Taylor being envious. My, that man can preach. What a voice he has. What a mind he has. But you see, God gave me what he wanted to give me in order that I be me and not somebody else. And that gives you great joy as you serve the Lord. I'll never have a mind like Tom Taylor. But I enjoy listening to that brother. I'll never have a mind like David Dunbar or a voice like him. But I tell you, he's coming in February. That's from 94, by the way. But nevertheless, you see, let us not be desirous of vainglory, envying one another, provoking one another. Let's move on to the next page. Page 13. Notice, in the chapter before us, we have the practical outworking of the truth that is taught in the epistle. The argument in the epistle has been proved. It was proved by the Abrahamic covenant in chapter 3, by the fact that the law could never produce any salvation in us, let alone sanctification. And then it was proved in chapter 4 by the events in Abraham's household. In chapter 5, it's proven between the contrast between the works of the law and the fruit of the Spirit. And now we are notice that we have been set free by Christ and the grace that saves now works in us by the Holy Spirit. Now we see it working. How? By the practice of love. Notice. Number one, Paul argues for liberty, but also for the law. That is the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Our Lord said time and time again, before he went back to the Father, these things command I you, that you love one another. What kind of love is that? It isn't mush. It's a righteous love. And we must righteously love one another. He desires this love be fulfilled in the life of the child of God. You see, we can't do it after we get the glory. We have to do it now. In verses 1 through 10, we have the operation of the law of God in relation to the restoration of a fallen brother. There are times when the children of God fall. They fall into sin. And verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual. Notice. A. Restore. And that word for restore, it is a word used for setting a dislocated bone. When a bone has been broken and you have to set it, it is a delicate thing. And that's how we're to treat one another. Delicately. Restore. In other words, this word is translated mending. In Matthew 4:21, they were mending their nets. Restoring their nets. To usefulness. That's a thought. Peter and John were mending their net. Restore such a one. Mend it. So that they'll be useful for God again. Furthermore, it is translated fitted in Romans 9 verse 22, where it speaks of the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Furthermore, it is translated joined together. in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now the question is, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Who's a spiritual man? How can you tell a spiritual person? How can you tell an apple tree? When you see the apples on the tree, how can you tell a spiritual person when you see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith.